Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picker from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. We have a...
Yes, man. We're just listening to Aretha Franklin, Respect. Sweet and honey. Oh, yeah. Anyway... yes, we have a great show tonight. The topic, Season 6, Episode 59, 72 hours until all hells break loose. That's what Donald Trump said, you know, 3 days before his trial begins, set for tomorrow. And Donald Trump is a vile, evil, and disgusting man who has threatened that all hell will break loose 72 hours before his trial to start for paying off adult film star Stormy Daniels. Jack Smith said that he has video evidence of Donald Trump showing a billionaire friend all launching sites of where America's nuclear weapons are located. Former White House press secretary Anthony Scaramucci says nobody in the Trump White House liked him, and he was vindictive, callous, and an evil man. Lawyers who quit on his legal team feel he's a heartless and cruel and would stop at nothing to be vindictive. When does Trump begin to take accountability for his actions? Hopefully tomorrow in this trial, as Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, and Michael Cohen, his former handler, are the star witnesses. How much is too much for America to handle at this point? Will he go to jail because of criminal offense? If found guilty, he could face jail time. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds of Iowa signed a bill making it illegal and a crime for some undocumented workers to be in Iowa. She's following in the footsteps of Texas, who made it their law recently as well. Cruelty is the point with Republicans. As we march towards the 2024 presidential elections, a whopping 101 million plus people didn't vote in 2020. They better start caring now and vote, because if Trump wins, our democracy will be a thing of the past. All this and whatever you want to talk about tonight, we love hearing from you, your friends, everybody who listen, even international callers. Don't be shy. This is your opportunity to speak your mind. Thank you for joining the broadcast tonight. Call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. And please turn off all background noises, as it's distracting to the hosts and listeners. Thanks for sharing across all social media and following, commenting, liking, and sharing our Facebook page. Be sure to visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, Laurie, so on the get-go, Donald Trump, the evil, vile, disgusting human being that he is, will face justice starting tomorrow. He tried over 10 times to delay, and it backfired. And the judge even put a gag order on him, but of course Trump respects nobody. He's just out for himself and everything, throw everybody under the bus. And if he breaks the gag order, it's $1,000 per, you know, breaking it. $1,000 is like $100 to normal Joe and everything. So, you know, gag order won't do anything. What they should do when he breaks the gag order is put him in jail, like, you know, a normal, regular person, but of course, a two-tier justice system, which is, you know, despicable. So what's your take on it? You know, it's going to be a jury trial. Would he finally face justice if and when found guilty, or you know, will he be just, you know, not found guilty and walk scot-free? What's your take on that?
Well, from what I've read, and I also listened to an interview with Anthony Scarabucci, who was very close to Trump, as we all know, is no longer a Trump fan at all. He feels that not only will he lose his trial, he's going to be convicted, and he's going to lose the election. That's what he was saying. Does he think that Trump has money? He was asked that question as well, and his answer was he may not have a lot of cash on hand, but also he did kind of allure to the fact that no one has really investigated or asked about the money that he has out of our country. He was mentioning China. He mentioned, of course, Russia, Saudi Arabia. So, you know, that sort of thing, you know, he may, you know, have money elsewhere and be cash poor here. Who knows? I was kind of surprised when he said that, but not really surprised. But I was surprised that it came out of his mouth because, you know, he was a Trump loyalist for a long time. And I don't know how he saw the light, but he did. And I'm glad that he did. So that was his prediction.
Yes. And it's going to be fireworks tomorrow. It's certainly going to be stormy. And, you know, it's going to be fireworks definitely in that courtroom. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be televised, unfortunately, but hopefully YouTube somewhere will have some sort of clip, highlights, whatever, or even, you know, just listening what's happening in the courtroom, you know?
Yeah, like live
because
stream.
America needs to know.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that being that this is a state court, not a federal court, you know, not a federal trial, I think it should be on television. I think people honestly to finally hear some truth instead of listening, hearing, I should say, him every single day threaten the judge, threaten, you know, the judge's daughter, make false accusations, calling it, you know, a dog and pony show, saying that it's all fake. Enough. You know, get him in that chair. And he did say that he was going to testify, and he looks forward to testifying. We'll see if that really happens, because I think he said that.
No.
He said
he
that.
He's a coward. No,
well,
he won't.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I do think that Michael Cohen, they are going to try to, the defense is going to try to make him out to be a Trump loyalist at one time. And because he had to go for Trump, they're going to make it sound like he was a liar and he lied for Trump all those years and he was his fixer, so to speak. And they're going to paint a dark picture, you know, of Michael Cohen. And I that that's going to fail because everyone has seen that Michael Cohen has, he's turned the page. He's also seen the light and he's very articulate. He's smart. And I think that he will do well in that courtroom.
Yes, he will indeed because, you know, who better able to speak on what Trump did than his former fixer and lawyer? Who, you know, like went all out, like, you know, tell lies on his behalf and what have you. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out and everything. We'll have two calls waiting, one at a time. And the topic, season 6, episode 59, 72 hours until all hell breaks loose. What do you think about Trump, you know, pouring PR trial tomorrow? Will he be vindicated? Will he be found guilty? Found guilty? How many years or months or days will he get in prison? Number to call, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. We'd love to hear from everybody from different perspectives. South Carolina, hello. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, I was just listening to you talking about Trump and Michael Cohen, and I think the comments were correct, I think that they will be attacking Michael Cohen. The thing about Michael Cohen is that everything he said has proven to be true so far, and everything Kara McDougal, Stormy Daniels, a host of other witnesses that are all going to be supporting what he said. So his word alone, if it were just him, they might be able to question it. But when you look at and also the documents, the signed checks, the paper evidence, and the corroborating witnesses, I think will be enough. I don't think there's any question about it. Another point I'd like to do is that you know, we keep talking about being about a porn trial, but I think it's actually about election interference, because when you try to keep the public from finding out something 2 weeks before an election, it is a form of election interference. And you know, with the fact that after the interview with Howard Stern and the comments, the graphic comments that Trump had made, and evangelicals having heard that, there being a big part of his base, I suspect some of them were kind of on the line, and that on top of it might have pushed them across the line. So I think it is, and it was a close election anyway, so I think that could have made a big difference.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, he, you know, had Michael Cohen pay the $130,000, you know, to Stormy Daniels. And, you know, there's proof of that as well. And you're right. It has to do with election interference as well, because it was 2 weeks before. Why else would he want it? He didn't want that to come out in the public. He knew that that would be, you know, it would end up being something like this. So
could have made the difference.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that could have made the difference that close to the election. And there was, at that time, it's easy to forget about it, but at the time there was a lot of controversy about that, and a lot of people were stepping away from him. And that we could have, America could have been spared this nightmare. Had it, and for that, it's possible.
Absolutely. You know, it's been torture for how many years now? Is this Bob from South Carolina?
Yes.
Hi, Bob. I talk to you all the time on Facebook.
Hi. Yes,
nice to
hear
you.
Hey, so Bob, you're in South Carolina. Are you in Nancy Mace's district? And what do you think about all that, where the change of the congressional district, even though the Supreme Court of South Carolina said it's wrong and it's illegal? They're still going through with it.
I moved here from West Virginia, and I found that the politics here in South Carolina are very similar to what they were in West Virginia. The only difference, I would say, that the more affluent areas, there's a lot more Democratic support, but the rural areas are Trump supporters. I went to a class reunion. I had organized a class reunion about 5 years ago, and well, there was just a small group of us, only about 15 people, and I was surprised to learn that I was the only person there that was not a Trump supporter. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was awkward. Right.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. So I tried to well, I have some of them aren't speaking to me now, put it that way. I mean, nothing happened at the reunion, but we've talked about politics in the months following, and we're still on Facebook and everything, but they're just it's disappointing to me. They're in just another world. I confronted or asked one of my friends today about how it is that you can claim to be a Christian and support someone that has tried to overturn our election and has effectively committed voter fraud. You know, when you about an election and claim that the 20 or 30 million people have voted illegally, but you can't prove that 100 have, how can you be a Christian? Mm-hmm. How can you be a Christian and support that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know.
And all these things were,
Bob, where he's selling Bibles and selling sneakers and, you know, I mean, it's sacrilegious, basically, selling the Bible, you know, autographed mm-hmm. Bible, you know. I mean, it makes you want to throw up, you know. I'm not particularly religious, per se, but, you know, that's disrespectful, you know. And so in South Carolina, do you think Democrats can win in 2024 or is too gerrymandered? What's the mood like in South Carolina, having moved from West Virginia?
Fortunately, I don't think Democrats will win here. As I drove through downtown, I'm near Hilton Head, and as I drove downtown today, there was probably about 100 people with signs to ban abortions and pray to make abortions illegal here. So I don't.
Just don't understand the abortion, you know, the whole abortion spiel that's been going on, you know, why people are so interested in trying to control other people. And, it's not right. Why can't people just mind their own business? If they're not hurting them, and I've said this 100 times on this show, if you're not being hurt by it, why do you have to try to ruin someone else's life in another way? We don't know what's going on with that person's life. We have no idea. And we don't have the right to tell anyone what to do with their bodies. Absolutely anyone. And I can't understand why some people feel that it's their duty to make other people's lives miserable. It doesn't make any sense to me. And don't tell me it's about religion, because it's not.
They believe that God is going to make all of us answer for our sins. So if you believe that, then why not just take care of your own life and let God, if you think people are doing something wrong, let them face God's judgment later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing that I said was I suggested that if they don't like abortions, just handle it the same way they do school shootings. Just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And it's the truth that they are such, you know, if they're so protective about life and they're so pro-life, why don't they care about, you know, gun control and children being, you know, shot in schools and killed in schools, you know?
If someone imposes on their rights, they really are in a tizzy, but they have no problem imposing on other people's rights.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've had quite a few arguments on here about that, and it's just they feel that they need to save you from what, you know, across the country. You know, it's crazy. Save you from what? You know, it's just nuts, and it makes no sense, and I just don't understand why they want to control, you know, women, you know, even with the IVF thing.
The bright side of it is I think it's really going to hurt them in November, though. It's
going, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I absolutely agree. It sure is going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that it would be on television tomorrow. That's what I was hoping for. But maybe I can find a live stream somewhere, because I can't. I want to watch, you know, Trump squirm a little bit. It'll be interesting, you know.
I don't think he'll testify. He said that he would, but he has said that many times, but ended up not doing it, you know. He said that. Robert Mueller, he said that repeatedly and other situations. But he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Yes. He's just all talk and no action, you know, and I don't know what else to say about that man.
Yeah, I want to ask something about West Virginia, Bob. You just moved from there and everything. Joe mentioned not running for re-election. He decided to retire. And the other U.S. Senator, Sherrilyn Moore Capito, she's a Republican. So do you think Joe Manchin's stepping down? Do you think that the Republicans will win that seat? I don't know who the Democrat is that's going to run in place of Joe Manchin.
West Virginia. I moved down here in 2010, and I haven't really kept up with politics there since. I just know that they're deep red. Is all I know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yes, man. Yeah, we're living in crazy times. Jeez, man, it's scary. It's scary. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
All right, let's have another call. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say I started talking about my friend. We were talking about. I was asking the question of how can you be a Christian and support someone that's committed these crimes. You know, not just overturning the election, but admitting to defrauding a children's cancer charity, admitting to having a fake university, just thing after thing. There's just too many to recite here, claiming that they have a right to kill people as political opponents. Mm-hmm. The only thing that they could come back with was, well, Democratic presidents have really attacked religion. And I was like, well, how have they attacked religion? I said, well, they're supporting transsexuals, allowing children to have sex change operations, and that's perverted. So I would be voting for a pervert if I voted for Joe Biden. So that makes everything that Trump's doing okay.
That's crazy. You know, that's just a one-issue voter right there, and that is really crazy. You know?
Yeah, well, I said, you know, that affects less than 0.1% of the population.
Yeah, and exactly.
And I'm talking about things that affect 100% of the population. So I've noticed that it seems that with right-wingers, I've noticed in talking with them or arguing with them that false equivalencies are a big part of their propaganda. They'll throw something out as an equivalency, or sometimes you call it whataboutism. That the equivalency, and it's not an equivalency at all, you know, like what I just said, you know.
Does your friend, Bob, does your friend realize that if Trump were to win, that our democracy is going to be dismantled? Does he realize that? Is he willing to take that chance? I mean, that's what it comes down to at the end.
He says that Democrats are the only people that believe that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You should send him a copy of.
We don't have to wait until he's elected. He's already demonstrated that. He's already demonstrated that he refuses.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Trump is already showing us
that American elections would be kind of like Russia. They have the pretense of an election, but the results are assumed. You know, he won't accept defeat. If he does lose, he'll say that it was fraudulent and refuse to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Send him a copy of Project 2025, Bob, and have him read it. It's you know, the Heritage Foundation, you know, wrote it. They drafted it, you know, with other, you know, ultra-conservative think tanks. I think there's about 30 other ones along with it. And it's horrific if you read it. And I don't know if you read it. I told you about it, I think, but I don't know if you read it. And it's scary. It's scary. It dismantles everything that we know.
Right. Yeah, if he gets back in there, he will, this time he'll put in people, lackeys around him, an attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'll be worse.
People that
than
will
last
do whatever
time.
He says. Yeah, well, he tried to do it. But he'll start on that much earlier on this time around. I think he'll be successful.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what scares me to death, is because I think the last election was like a trial run, last presidency was like a trial run. and this one, he already knows who he's going to put in office, you know, in what positions. I think they've already got it. I really believe that, you know, not maybe every single person, but, you know, the top ones, the ones in his cabinet, so to speak. I truly believe that. And that's scary because you know that it will be those that are the worst of the worst and do not care about our country, our democracy, or its people, only about their own power and glory. That's it.
Wealth and power is their only concern.
Absolutely. You got that right.
Next one. Bob, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the new call and everything.
It was great to hear from you. Yeah, call us again. We'd love hearing from you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Lori. Take care.
You too. Take care. Bye now.
Yes, that was Bob from South Carolina. Thank him for the call and everything. I think I cut Lori off by accident. Okay, so the number to call, 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling in from. Hello, Michigan. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi, this is Elaine from Michigan. Boy, that Bob is really on the ball. That was an excellent call. And he did answer the question for me. The same thing I've been getting. That the Democrats are the ones that are putting out all this evil, and that's why Trump is going to replace all the Democrats in Washington. That is their answer to 2025. Now, that is scary. That Trump is going to replace all the Democrats in Washington. The other fallacy that they keep pushing is they have to ban these books because little children are being taught in books. Now, these are lies, but this is coming from their mouths. The little children, as young as 5 years old, are being taught how to have sex by looking at these books.
No.
I'd like to know where these books exist.
They don't exist.
I mean, you know, maybe these are the books from the Esquire magazine or whatever it was called with Mr. Pecker. Maybe he's the one that wrote them. But I sure as heck have never seen them, and I volunteered many, many years at the school.
Yeah, I did too. I worked at this. I volunteered at a middle school library. I never saw any books like that ever. So,
I've got a cousin, a great cousin, who after she graduated, she was top librarian for the high school, and she said she has never seen those books in the library.
No.
She'd like to know where these books exist that they keep talking about.
I would, too. You know, maybe they have sentence or something, or it's how they comprehend. I've yet to see one, so I don't know. I would love to see a banned book. That's what I would like to see, is a banned
Lori,
book.
All this is propaganda. I mean, it is total propaganda.
Yep.
I mean, some of the books on the list, I looked at them. They've made movies out of those books. Those movies weren't banned.
I know.
I mean,
for example, To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's the one I was trying to think of. To Kill a Mockingbird.
You know? Why would they want to, like, you know, ban that book? Seriously. One of the best books ever written.
What I would like to talk about is the two-tiered system. If it was you, David, if it was Lori, myself, or anybody else that we know, we would be sitting in jail until this trial.
Oh, you better believe it.
I do not understand why he can go on and on and on. He is worse than any mobster that we have ever gone after.
That's right.
I thought Getty was the worst.
Yep.
He has gotten away with more than what Getty had got away with.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you 100%. You know,
finally, when they nailed Getty, he sat in jail until he went to prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Bob was an excellent, excellent call. I wish I could be as calm as him. I can't be calm anymore. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. You're right. It is. And maybe, you know, we as, you know, the people, the public, you know, in the country have not complained enough. I'm not sure why he's able to have the podium day after day after day. And here we have a president like President Biden. You know, he was at his Delaware home over the weekend, probably trying to relax, you know, because he's got two wars going on and his, you know, his own campaign, and then all the problems that are in the country that we have, you know, immigration, everything. And here he had to come back because, you know, Iran, you know, shot and drones, you know, at Israel. And, you know, he was probably up all night, all weekend. They were, you know, in the room again today, you know, having meetings, strategies, talking to Netanyahu. And, you know, and no one respects him. I mean, it's like he's our president. It's almost like he's our invisible president. Maybe it's because we know that President Biden is going to do the right thing, and we feel comfortable, at least I do, but I try to pay attention as to what he's saying and what he's doing. And I think everyone else just takes, not everyone else, but most people take him for granted and feel comfortable.
Well, I am blaming the regular media, and I am blaming the justice system. I have had Trumpers a couple of days ago said to me this, quote unquote, if he was guilty of these charges, why haven't they arrested him and put him in jail?
Yeah.
Bingo. Bingo.
And that's the truth. I mean, what is it they're afraid of? Are they afraid of retaliation? Big deal. Don't we have the National Guard? I mean, come on. Let's be real here. So it is a two-tiered justice system. It really is.
I don't know how to use my rake, my shovel. I don't know how to use my baseball bat.
Yeah,
I am not afraid.
No, that truly doesn't. You know, I don't even know how to justify, you know, what we have been put through all these years, you know, with this monster every single day, you know, with the rhetoric and the lies and the name calling and the viciousness and the hatred, you know, it's just mind-boggling and sickening. It really is. And, you know, you have to be one of those people that just will not turn on the TV to watch the news, or on the radio, you only listen to music, you know, or something calming. Because how else can you not know what's going on? It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
People have been fed propaganda for so long.
Yes.
Through their churches, through pamphlets, they have been fed pamphlets, through their organizations, through the VFW, through the legions. These pamphlets have been dropped off. The Republicans got in office, and they quietly went and talked to these people. Well, we would like to come in and talk to you. It's one of your meetings. And then the propaganda started. I know that you're older, and I know you don't have kids in school anymore, but did you know they show the kindergartners dirty books? And
I know.
It's propaganda. And when in the hell are we going to fight back?
Well, you know.
You know, there's another propaganda that's going on with this trial. So what if Trump had sex with Stormy? I don't care if he had sex with Stormy 10 times on Sunday and 100 times on Tuesday. This is not what this trial is about. This trial is about taking campaign financing and paying for hushes, her to keep her mouth shut.
So now the trial is going to start Monday with jury selection and everything. And Trump is saying, and his team is saying that, oh, you know, he can't get a fair trial. you know, no matter where to move it, I think that a juror of his peers, you know, once the selection is made and everything, if he even have one juror who say, oh, no, he's not guilty, you know, that could get a hung jury, you know. So do you think his people are going to show up tomorrow in terms of Trump supporters or Trumpers and try to intimidate witnesses?
No. No, I don't. They didn't show up for E. Jean Carroll. You didn't see anybody out there. There wasn't anybody out there. Maybe a couple goofy people. I saw one woman on video. Another one behind her told her to shut up. I mean, you know, I don't think so. No, this is his fight. And, you know, the thing is, he's been charged with 34 felony counts, falsification of business records. And he pleaded not guilty at his arraignment on April 4th, 2023. He has since raged against prosecutors, the judge, accusing them of conspiring against him for political gain. Now, who's political gain? He's already, the judges are, that's their job, if they're already a judge. For whose political gain? You know, that makes no sense. And then prosecutors say he took part in the scheme to conceal the reimbursements to his then lawyer, paid $130,000 in hush money to the adult film star Stormy Daniels just before the 2016 presidential election. So it really is not because he had whatever he had sex with Stormy Daniels. It's because of what he did to shut her up. That's what the trial is about. That's what the trial is about.
Yeah, slow another caller. We have another caller. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Doris from Florida.
Doris.
Hi, Doris.
Yes. Yeah, Doris.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So, Doris, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Doris. Imagine if it were Hillary Clinton or any other Democrat who paid an adult performer $130,000. Imagine how the media would run with that. You know?
Yes, well, they went crazy regarding, they went crazy regarding this stuff about her emails, and it just went on and on and on, and it never came to anything, and then it ended. But as long as it was out there, they kept saying something about it. And even though she got the popular vote, that's another thing. She got the popular vote of supposedly 3 million more, and Trump had a real problem with saying there were there were 3 million fraudulent votes, just enough to make up for what Hillary won by. I mean, the man is a snowflake. He really is. He cannot tolerate anything which is not any sign of strength. And as I said, the idea, there's a word strong man and then there's a strong man. Same thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some people see Trump, this bullying kind of face he puts on, as some kind of strength. Mm-hmm. But those are, for a lot of reasons. I have relatives, as we all do, who I love and all that, but they're uninformed. Ignorant is one word to say, not meaning it pejorative, but they are ignorant, uninformed, and don't have the initiative or desire or inclination to try to learn, start to listen and learn, read up on things. I think I mentioned that there's one guy in my patient that I have. He's a young black fellow who was really on the thing for Trump. And he got up standing up and said, you know, he felt like he had to do this. I know my community. I know what's going on. I don't read much. I don't watch the TV. Okay, that tells you a lot right there. So he's saying things. I just know what's in my community. So what my job is before he comes back in another 2 weeks, when I had asked him in there, I said, do you know the Central Park Five were? He didn't know. So I said, okay. I'm doing the homework that he could do, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show him information, Central Park 5, the 1973 discrimination against people in housing. I mean, I've got the fraudulent charity, the fraudulent university, on and on and on. I'm going to list it all and then maybe run off the little articles that, you know, I can go online and read them up just so he can look and suggest to him that he might look up some of those things, but I'll give him that information. And I don't know if it'll matter, but the man is really ignorant. but adamant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's adamant about what he's saying.
I know something. Speaking of ignorance, you know, Thursday show coming up this Thursday. We're going to talk about, you know, critical thinking versus conspiracy theories, because it seems like, you know, that when you jump down that rabbit hole, I will know, I'll know at least one person who jumped down that rabbit hole and gets sucked in, you know, and they're just consumed by, you know, supporting Trump, even though the evidence is there saying that he's this type of person, he's a liar, he's a manipulator, he's vindictive, all these things. You know, but yet still, they're in love with him, want to support him, send him money. How can you be a billionaire and begging people to send him money? That's so contradictory. You know? And what do you think, starting with Gloria, then Elaine, and then Doris, you know, how will the voters react to Trump's criminal hush money trial? Do you think it's going to have an effect on the electorate? And because Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire, was on ABC earlier today, and he was saying that, you know, it's not going to have a major political impact. You know, what's your thoughts on that? You know, will it have an impact or no?
Start
with
Laurie. Well,
me first. Yeah, I think it will. We won't know how big of an impact, but it's going to have an impact, especially if they take him out of the courtroom and he's cuffed. That will be a visual. That will be a visual that he is guilty. Up until now, everybody around him, like Citizens United, can throw out their conspiracy theories, their propaganda. Once he's cuffed, then people will visually see he is guilty.
Some won't admit it, but some will. I'm not so sure they're going to cuff him, because I watch on the TV, I watch this stuff all day. I'm not watching all those other shows. I'm watching the news and different things. And when they're talking about it, I'll see a person who's, you know, who's an intelligent person and who's, I think, on the right side of things, will say, I'm sure he won't go to prison. And one of them says, I'm trying to think who it was today who said, I really don't want him to go to prison because he was a president. Well, you know, other countries had presidents who went to prison. And
you
I'm thinking that just hearing them talk like that. Now, he'd have the he'd have the Secret Services around him, you know, for the rest of his life. But so I don't know how that works. But there are people there who either said, we don't want him to be going to prison because he's a president. Now, he wouldn't have to be in Rikers or whatever. You know, a lot of times these high polluting people end up in places that aren't quite so dangerous. They're just, you know, put away. We know that. So I don't know with him why they say, I don't think he'll go to prison. And a guy today said, well, I wouldn't want that. I just can't remember who it was. I wouldn't
this
want
is bullshit.
Him
he wants
the president.
He wants to be a dictator. And how do you take a dictator out? You kill him. Well, we don't want to go that route. We want him to pay for whatever he did legally in prison. Maybe we ought to start. Maybe we ought to start a writing campaign to these so-called. I've seen these same damn interviews. Oh, he's a president. He shouldn't go to prison. That's horseshit.
So someone is above the law, then, aren't they?
That's the whole thing. You know, that is the whole thing. It is. He is presented to us like he is above the law because of everything that he gets away with. And everyone calls, I mean, I've seen a lot of times, Teflon Don. He is a Teflon Don. He really is. He needs to have one thing bring him down. Now, in this case, he has 34 charges against him, with 11 invoices, 11 checks, and 12 Trump Organization ledger entries that all allegedly carried reimbursements from Trump to Cohen as monthly payments for ongoing legal services in 2017 and 2018. Prosecutors allege that, in fact, they were reimbursements for the $130,000 Cohen paid to the adult film star in 2016. The reimbursements totaled $420,000. prosecutor said, allowing Cohen to recoup tax losses and walk away with a bonus. Cohen, who in 2018 entered a guilty plea in a related federal case and is the key witness against Trump, as we all know. And then there's Daniels. And in the 216 agreement in which she agreed to remain quiet was orchestrated by Cohen and Daniels' attorney. Trump used an alias, David Dennison, and Daniels was called Peggy Peterson. And accompanying letter identified their true identities. Cohen wired the $130,000 to Daniels' lawyer through a shell company called Essential Consultants LLC, which he established days earlier. So, I mean, there is a paper trail. It's not like this case is just about, you know, him having a sex porn star. That's not what it's about. It's about the money that he paid to and had her sign an NDA and shut her up. That's what it's about. And then he used campaign funds, like Bob said. And that's all illegal. It's illegal. So is he above the law? No. As a human, he is not above the law. He is not. That's it.
Well, the other thing is that Cohen went to prison for that whole deal, and Trump was not named number one, right? Number one whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's already evidence because Michael Cohen went to prison for that. And when COVID came and they wanted to get him out or whatever, Trump and I don't know, Giuliani went to great pains to try to put him back because he was writing a book. And I'm thinking Michael Cohen is in prison, and it's basically about what Trump did, and it's taken a long time to get round to Trump. But the fact is, it wasn't like they're not starting from scratch. They already had a guy convicted for being involved in that. So this shouldn't be a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody decided that action took place and that was the role he played. But number one was Trump. So it's not starting from the very beginning. But the idea that he shouldn't go to jail because he's a president, it goes against the whole idea that we think that no one is above. I mean, we know that's not true, but that should be the ideal. But just to have somebody think he shouldn't.
That. No, and we have heard that over and over again. No one is above the law, and he is not above the law. You can't turn him into a martyr because of who he is, which to me, he's dirt. He's not even a human being, and make an example out of him instead, so the next person doesn't get the idea, well, he got away with it. Now I can get away with it. You know, as long as I have money, I can do what I want. That's the attitude that we'll have. And then, you know, those of us that don't have the means, you know, millions of dollars to hire every lawyer that you can imagine out there and maybe pay him and maybe not pay him, but only because they know it's Donald Trump, then, you know, what chance does another person have to get justice? They don't. That's the whole thing.
And today, by
you
way,
know what?
Kudos
to Alvin Bragg, because he was the first one out of gas in prosecuting Donald Trump and everything. But let's look at the different players in this trial starting tomorrow. David Pecker, he's a former CEO of an American Media Incorporated, which published the National Enquirer during the period when it executed so-called catch-and-kill schemes to bury negative stories about Trump. And one of the prosecution's central goals, shut up, Melee, got a dog barking. One of the prosecution's central goals would be to persuade jurors that Trump orchestrated the cover-up and falsifies his company records as part of a scheme to influence the 2016 election rather than merely to avoid personal embarrassment. So connecting the conduct to the election will help prosecutors maintain the charge against Trump as felonies rather than misdemeanors, and Pecker may be a key witness at this point. So hopefully David Pecker you know, did the right thing. And when he testifies, he speaks the truth. He's expected to testify about this effort to aid Trump by brokering these deals, including any conversation he had with Trump or Cohen, as well as any communications he had with those being silenced, namely Stormy Daniels and her representatives, and Karen McDougal, the former Playboy playmate, who got paid off as well. So according to state prosecutors, David Pecker, at a time a close friend and ally of Trump, met with Trump and his then-lawyer Michael Cohen in August 2015 at a Trump Tower. Pecker, the prosecution says, agreed to help Trump's presidential campaign by acting as, the quote, the eyes and ears of the campaign by looking out for negative stories. The negative stories about Trump and flagging them for Cohen before they were published. So Pecker also agreed to publish negative stories about Trump's competitors for the election. So that fall, according to the prosecutors, David Pecker directed AMI to pay $30,000 to doorman of the former Trump Tower doorman, Dina Sajudin, who was attempting to shop a story about a love child Trump has fathered. And Pecker did so because of his agreement with Trump and Cohen, prosecutors have said. So after AMI concluded the story wasn't true, Cohen instructed Pecker to keep the agreement with doorman in place until after the presidential elections. So it's very nefarious here where, you know, a lot of things coming out of the woodwork about Trump, you know, about him being a womanizer. And him, mm-hmm. you know, trying to like bully people. Not trying, he did bully people. So in June 2016, according to the prosecutors, Pecker, after consulting with Trump and Cohen, again came to Trump's rescue. He directed AMI to pay $150,000 to former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal to keep her quiet about claims that he had sexual encounter with Trump. Pecker expected, based off his conversation with Cohen, that AMI would be reimbursed in payments, but Trump, or the Trump organization, it didn't come through. So he paid all that money, and Trump was supposed to pay it back. But, of course, we know he has a history of not paying people. So in October 2016, Pecker and Trump yet again aided Trump again, this time telling the National Enquirer editor-in-chief to alert Cohen to the fact that Stormy Daniels was claiming to have had a sexual encounter with Trump. And Trump's campaign had just then roiled by the release of the infamous Access Hollywood tapes, the one where he was saying to Billy Bush that he loves grabbing them by the pussy because if you're a celebrity, mm-hmm. they allow you to kiss you and, you know, fondle you and what have you, which is not the case. It's a lie, you know. Trump is just disgusting. And, you know, what gets me and what really annoys me is that, you know, people hear this, you know, and they still voted for him. So even if the mm-hmm. Stormy Daniels thing came through then, before the election, you know, would it have any effect?
I think it will. It has mm-hmm. to. I mean, mm-hmm. if this doesn't have an effect, then what will? If these Christians, you know, that always profess and talk about their Christianity and their faith and everything else, if this doesn't bother them, then mm-hmm. what's going to bother them? You know,
mm-hmm.
nothing lines up. I don't, you know, it's just, they're all hypocritical. They're hypocrites and they
mm-hmm.
just,
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm.
You know, want, you know, whatever they want, that's, you know, that's how it should be. But it's not. The law is the law and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the money
mm-hmm.
more than anything
mm-hmm.
else. It's not the act,
yeah.
it's the money
right.
and how he, you know, hit it
mm-hmm.
and tried to get away with it, you know, sign, you know,
mm-hmm.
sending
mm-hmm.
the way he did it. So, yeah, that's what's wrong.
Their
mm-hmm.
attempts of making Cohen, saying that Cohen perjured himself when he lied about Trump, I've heard that a lot of times, and as a way of trying to diminish him, at least in Trump's eyes and the people supporting Trump. But, you know, what's interesting is when you think of these kind of religious types, you know, that category, they call it Christians. I don't see them as Christian in terms of behavior, but they like to wrap around Jesus, is that, you know, like when Tammy Faye's husband or whatever, he had an affair or whatever, and then also mm-hmm. down in this Christian university recently, I can't think of who it was, but They have the same things happen. It comes out, and then they can cry and say, I have sinned. And then there's this feeling for them. There's a feeling for them. I have sinned. So, you know, we're all human. It's like they're very choosy about who they forgive. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's one of them, they'll say, well, he said he sinned, and someone else, they'll. But Cohen, the thing is, to say that person who made a mistake or did something wrong, he admitted it. And I actually have a lot more respect for Michael Cohen because I think he has changed. He's come around, and he admits it.
Yeah.
He actually admits it, that he was wrong.
Yeah.
And to somehow for him to be damaged forever, one thing, when he testifies, when they say, well, he's lied before, haven't we all ever lied before? But the point is, he's going to have corroboration. He's not going to be alone, and he was there. So for those who try to dismiss him, I don't think that that's very compelling automatically to dismiss him. Because he's going to be there.
So, Lori, do you think that Hope Hicks may have the linchpin? Because she was press secretary during, at this time at the White House in the Trump administration when Stormy Daniels and McDougal was being paid off and a catch and release or catch and kill program was going on. Do you think that she'll have some damning evidence that's not been public yet? Hope Hicks.
She might, yeah. She might.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she talked, I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. But, you know, there's a lot of them that worked around Trump. I was talking about that interview, you know, earlier in the show. And he said there was around 40 people that worked around him on a daily basis. That was Sarah Boots I'm talking about, yes. And he was saying that all of them now, when they were in there, they all thought he was crazy, but they never said it to each other or him. But now all of them, you know that he's crazy, know that he's a danger, you know, to the country, you know, and some of them are trying to work to get the word out for Biden and get Biden elected. So, you know, it's, I don't know. What irritates me is that a lot of them worked side by side and knew he was nuts, knew what he was trying to do, and never said anything. Just went along with everything and then wrote their books. And then wrote their books.
Yeah.
And made money off their books. And then the damage is done. The damage is done. Look at where we are now. Look at where we are now. You know?
Because I think Trump is a wild card here because he claims that he's going to absolutely testify, you know, and that he took a stand and everything. Yeah, but as far as that I'm concerned, I don't think he'll do it because, one, he's a coward. And I think lie after lie after lie will catch up with him, basically. And his lawyers may be reluctant to call him as a witness given his well-known credibility issues and his tendencies to bloviate and stand. And, you know, he may not be able to resist speaking on his own defense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have yourself as a client is the biggest fool for a defense, as the saying goes. So that was true in both the recent civil fraud trial against him and in this year's federal defamation trial in a lawsuit brought on by the writer E. Jean Carroll. So Trump testified in both those cases and lost both cases badly, with a pair of civil judgments totaling over $500 million. So this time around, losing could mean something even greater, the prospect of prison. And, you know, on one end, I want him to testify so he can bloviate and, you know, sink himself even further. Because the prospect of Donald Trump going to prison is so thrilling. You know, I have my wine bottle in there, chilling for the past, how much years now? Not even months, years. I want to open that thing and drink it in celebration. You know, that man needs to go to prison. I hate that man. You know?
Yep.
So, Elaine, what's your thought on it? Do you think if and when found guilty, he'll go to prison, and how long do you think?
I want him to go to prison. Do I think he's going to go to prison? The justice system is going to disappoint us again. The only way we're going to get him off of the out of the limelight is we've got to cuff him and put his ass in prison, even if it's only for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Put his fat ass in prison, period.
Rather than be at home. Rather than be at home. Sometimes they'll say, well, they'll make him stay at home.
No, I don't want him at home. The kind of home I want him locked up in is a cardboard box down by the river. No, not in his fancy-ass house. No, 2 weeks in prison. I'd be happy with that. As long as he's cuffed so that the world sees cuffs on him and the word guilty. Then the people that got tattoos on their arms can go get a get another tattoo and put guilty on top of it.
So the New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu signed a reaffirmed his support for Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential general election, while standing by some but not by all of his past criticisms of the former president. So remember, Chris Sununu endorsed Nikki Haley, and he made a statement, even on ABC, that Trump would absolutely not be the nominee for the party. I guess he's eating his words now. So Chris Sununu says Trump shouldn't drop out if convicted, but stand by his past criticisms. So he's trying to talk on both sides of his mouth again.
No, he is.
This guy,
I watched
Chris
that interview today.
He always has.
It was disgusting. Disgusting. It really was.
I want to say something about the people that were in the White House that didn't say anything. I really wonder, it probably will take a lifetime and we won't be around when some when the real truth will come out. But I really think that Trump is the head kingpin mob boss in the United States. This is my take on it. I think he takes his orders from Putin, who strokes him. Putin knows how to manipulate him. He strokes him. I think the people in the White House were afraid. Don't forget, Trump's swamp. Look at the people that he put in place as his lieutenants. Bannon? Do you really think Bannon's a nice guy?
No.
That other one, that bald-headed guy, that he looks like Jack the Ripper. I can't think of his name.
Miller?
You know who I mean, Laurie.
Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is his name.
I really think that there was a lot of people working there said, I can't wait till the election so I can get out of here.
Stephen Miller will be, if he, by some miracle, gets elected, Stephen Miller will be part of his cabinet, or he will be. Oh, he will, because he's still working for him. He's still doing his duties for him, definitely behind the scenes. You never see him. You never hear about from him, but he's definitely still out there. There is no doubt in my mind.
But I really think that there's a lot of people who are afraid. Now, here's another thing to think about: the drugs. The drugs that went on in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever hear of anybody being in the White House and having such a drug habit? All them drugs that were being delivered to the White House?
Anybody
that was on a level, was honest, is walking around sitting next to somebody who's all drugged up, spinning out. Do you really think they were taking deep breaths? They were counting the days until the next election. That is why they didn't speak out.
His own doctor had an alcohol problem and, you know, was praising him like his health is wonderful. He's a representative, I don't know if it's Texas or wherever now, his former doctor.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, doctor in the White House. White House doctor,
The White House
kind
doctor.
Of a bootlicker. He was a bootlicker.
Yeah, crazy.
But, I mean, you know, a lot of those are young kids. Well, I consider kids. They're in their 20s. They're not quite 30 yet. I mean, they're probably terrified. They probably walked down the hall with a mirror to make sure who was behind them.
Yeah.
Well, look at what happens with the judges and the prosecutors and the lady, the two people in the election, their lives are ruined. Somehow, whatever, whoever is in that position, they're getting threats and their lives are kind of ruined. And that's Trump. That's Trump's mob. Whether he knows the mob or not personally, they fall right in line. Yeah.
That's so disgusting. You know, the party of Ike, the party of Lincoln, the party of even Reagan, you know, kowtowing to this man and kissing his ass, not even his ring, his ass, his dirty orange disgusting ass. You know, instead of standing up for truth and justice and what's right, Liz Cheney doing the right thing. Adam Kinzinger, the former congressman, is doing the right thing. Nikki Haley is doing the right thing. I can't believe I just said that. You know, Nikki Haley doing the right thing. Oh,
yeah, right.
I know Richmond all over himself saying that. You know, and these people just refuse to stand up to Trump. So it comes to the next question, though. Who do you think Trump will select as his vice president? It matters because knowing Trump's personality, he would want to pick somebody who, like, basically doing what the Republican Party are doing to him, kissing his ass. You know, it's not about policies, not about, you know, procedures and rule of law. It's about kissing his ass. Who do you think, Lori, he might pick as his running mate?
It's not Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's too ignorant. She's like a rabid dog.
Yeah.
Hard to know. The governor from South Dakota. What is her name? She's a border.
Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem. That's her name.
Yeah, Kristi Noem. Even the Arizona, the one that
Carrie Lake.
Or if it's a man, who would it be if it was a man? I don't know. It's got to be somebody.
It will be Chris Christie, or it will be Mike Pence for sure. It will be the governor for Florida. What's his name? DeSantis.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know who it would be if it was a man. I really don't know.
Marco Rubio.
Oh, maybe.
That's
a
possibility.
Because he's quiet. He's a mouse. Just like Pence. He's quiet and he's a mouse.
I think he'd pick a man.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back 1 second because you know how we were just talking about the White House pharmacy, how they were having prescription drugs. You know, there.
Giving
out
like candy.
Yes, and it goes on to say it says a Trump White House pharmacy improperly provided drugs and misused funds, the Pentagon report says. It says the White House medical unit during the Trump administration provided prescription drugs, including controlled substances, to ineligible staff and spent tens of thousands of dollars more on brand name drugs than what generic equivalents would have cost. A Pentagon report shows the unit, part of the White House military office, did not comply with the federal government and Department of Defense guidelines. The report, which was released on January, found ineligible staffers received free specialty care and surgery at the military medical facilities and were provided with prescription drugs, including controlled substances, in violation of federal law. The report also found the White House medical unit's pharmaceutical management practices ineffectively used DOD funds by obtaining brand name medications instead of generic equivalents and increase the risk for the diversion of controlled substances, it said. Mm-hmm. The unit lacked effective controls to ensure compliance with safety standards, was not subject to oversight by military health system leaders. The units 2017 to 2019 on 8,900 unit doses of Ambien, it's a brand name sleeping medication, which was 174 more times than the $270 generic equivalent would have cost for the same amount of doses. It spent $98,000 on 4,180 unit doses of Provigil, a brand name stimulant, 55 more times than the 1,800 generic equivalent would have cost, the report said. Both drugs were dispersed without verifying patient identities. Opioids and sleeping medications were not properly accounted for and were tracked using error-filled or unreadable handwritten records, the report said. Now, is there a two-tier justice system here? Do you think? That's appalling.
So and the thing about it, nobody going to jail for it. That's the thing about it.
That's what
I don't want to make this big deal. And remember recently, I think it was last year, New Year's, when the phone cocaine in the White House and the Biden administration's White House.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, my, you know, they're doing all these White House tours and everything. Was it Hunter Biden's drugs? But they're doing everything in their power to, like, distract people and put red herrings in there. You know, and the focus should be bettering the economy, raising the minimum wage, giving women their rights in reproductive rights, you know, gay rights, immigration reform, gun control laws. But no, they're doing these silly little bullshit games about, oh, yeah, look there, that shiny thing, you know. You found drugs cocaine in the White House. Okay, how the hell does that help the middle-class family try to step up in life? You know, how does it help, you know, with student loans? You know, Joe Biden is doing all these things, trying to help the regular American while Republicans are doing these, you know, playing these crazy, silly games. And in 2 years, I'm quoting Chip Roy, Republican from Texas, congressman, name one thing in those 2 years that Republicans have passed that will help the American people. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You can't win nothing. You know?
That ought to be in an ad. It should be in an ad, yes.
Oh, it probably will.
You know, and the only thing that can run on is, you know, curtailing abortion or, you know, curtailing women's reproductive rights, do nothing about immigration, doing even further nothing about, you know, having gun control and red flag laws and everything. Don't want to screw over students who borrowed with interest rates, you know, through the roof, you know, and people like Betsy DeVos, who was education secretary, who had no business in that position, was trying to, like, push this privatized school with school vouchers and what have you. And she is one of the lenders, you know, who, like, you know, basically ass raping these people, you know, in getting, like, interest higher for these student loans. For these people, these Republicans do not belong in government, you know.
No.
So, oh, you know, we're against big government, you know, we're against the government, period. So just do America a favor, Betsy DeVos and Donald Trump and whomever, even Kristen Uno, and who's the governor of New Hampshire, you know, go the fuck home, you know, don't run for any office. You want smaller government? Stay home. Nobody likes you. Nobody respects you. You're liars. You're frauds. You're manipulators.
Yeah.
And people in Kentucky, deep red Kentucky, voted for Bashir for a second term. That's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the woman's you know, reproductive rights thing, it's enshrined in the Ohio Constitution now. You know, basically Ohio told the Republican Party to go fuck themselves because they're screwing over women. You know, and this Arizona law, it's going to be on the ballot in November coming up. You know, I noticed how Carrie Lake, who's running for U.S. Senate, the totally 180 flip, saying that, oh, yeah, you know, what is this? Yeah. Oh, my God. If you can't sit through that, I don't know what to say to you as a neutral voter, if you're still neutral
talk
at this
about
point.
Talk about being desperate.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just ridiculous. And anybody who have a conversation would say, oh, yeah, I'm politically neutral, or, oh, you know, I don't really talk politics because it don't really affect me. Shut the fuck up. You know, people die in different countries, you know, for a vote. You know, so don't tell me, oh, you know, it don't affect me. It may not directly affect you, but goddamn it, it affect millions of women, millions of immigrants, millions of gay people. The bills that are right to curtail, and you know, black and brown people. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It needs to stop. It's supposed to be about policy. It's about you know, putting America first and going forward together. You know, taxing the wealthy who will pay little to no taxes compared to our secretary or teacher. You know, come on, have common sense. And the people in the South, like, you know, Alabama, especially Mississippi, who's 50th in almost every goddamn thing, in every goddamn category, they're still voting Republican. You know, how is it Democrats' fault that, you know, you're being screwed over and you're poor for years now, since Barry Goldwater, even before that, you know? Why is not people, stop watching Fox News, stop watching right-wing media or listen to them on radio, because they don't care. They're stoking your fears about, oh, this brown man or this black man coming in from another country, you know? Is he a terrorist, you know? Is he a rapist? No. They just come, like your ancestors did, unless you're Native American, you know, to come for a better opportunity to grow, you know, and just be happy. That's what America is about. And if you don't like it, then go back to Europe or the fuck your ancestors came from. Because everybody deserves to be in America. If you don't like it, kiss my ass. I'm from Jamaica originally. You know, I'm here since 2001. And I belong here. If you don't like me because of the color of my skin or because I'm not Christian or follow any particular religion, kiss my ass. You know, religion should be out of politics. You know,
you know, the law to give breaks to you know, student loans that Biden signed, that was that was, as I understand, reversed by the Supreme Court. And I don't know how he got this other thing through, but I think they worded it somehow based on what the Supreme Court said was flawed about the first one, and he's trying to get it through. But they're still going to be appealed. You know, they've already come out with they're going. I'm sure they're going to appeal it. But the whole point is to go against that. The idea student loans are one of the best investments for people that are going to college to get an education, and they treat it like, well, you didn't pay for whatever. Well, there's a whole lot of things. We took care of veterans who, you know, in the 20s or 30s got the GI Bill, and my brother went to college for many years on the GI Bill, but that was a great investment because the return on that is much, much more than what you put out. And when you invest in other investments, you always look at that. What's the return? And they don't seem to realize this wasn't something going down into the garbage pail. This was something that had a return on it.
I think they do realize. I think they do realize. What I think is that they go back to their old ways, saying you have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I did it.
Even if you don't have boots.
They don't care, Lori. They don't care. It's just words are throwing out there. You know?
I know.
Put yourself up by the bootstraps.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and Lori, you're missing something here. When they had the GI Bill, the college for other people was affordable. But when the colleges started getting the money for the GI Bill, they decided to start upping their prices. They became capitalists. Now, I contend that if you can make all that kind of beautiful money on your football and basketball teams, then you lower your damn rates to go to school. That's number one. Number two, Why mm-hmm. is it a person who borrowed $37,000 to go to school that's affordable to pay back? Kind of high, but it's still affordable to pay back. But with
yeah.
all the compounded interest, in 14
right.
years it's $100,000?
Right. Yeah.
Something's wrong here.
If they were just paying maybe a couple percent interest, which would be
mm-hmm.
okay, could
mm-hmm.
be doable, you know, maybe in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this, too. You know, they come out of school, they've got, you know, some of them have $100,000 of debt, some $250,000. It depends, of thousands of debt. So they come out of school, they try to get a job. You know, the job, they go to try to, you know, rent an apartment. You have to have a car now. You know, you have to buy your own groceries. Everything is very expensive. So
mm-hmm.
how do you pay back your student loan, you know, when you're just starting out? You're not making the big bucks. You have to work your way up. Most people do work your way up. And then from there, maybe you could eventually pay off your student loans. And it depends on
mm-hmm.
the type of job. Sure, if you are a nurse anesthetist, let's say, and you went to school for, I think they have to go for 9 years, if I'm not mistaken. It might even be 10. But
mm-hmm.
you come out of there and you're making $100,000, $150,000, maybe $200,000 a year, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they work you a lot, because I know one. And the thing is that she was able to pay back her student loans because of
mm-hmm.
what she was making, you know,
mm-hmm.
been in there for 20 years now, and she didn't pay that kind of money for her student loans. So what I'm saying is that it's not fair, because the ones that are coming out of college now, they're paying top rates, top interest.
Mm-hmm.
Housing is unaffordable for them. Food is expensive. Cars are expensive. And they're trying to make ends meet. A lot of them have to live
mm-hmm.
at home. There's a lot of them living
mm-hmm.
at home now.
Yeah, but how
mm-hmm.
can, what I can't fathom is, how can you have a $37,000 debt to go to school, and the compounded interest in a few years is $100,000? How
oh,
in the hell does that happen?
Because it's like being a loan.
I'm not getting any answers from anybody, and I've contacted a few people. Where are the people getting the money for these student loans, and why is the interest this bad? Why?
Because capitalism. Because capitalism, and they're rapacious. And
mm-hmm.
they just don't care. It's like about me, like, hey, I want mine. You know, everybody else can go fuck themselves. You know, basically, that's how the capitalist system works. And that's why it collapsed,
yeah.
because eventually, as Robert Reich and other economists say, basically
mm-hmm.
that the straw that we break the camel's back is when people just get fed up and say, here, what? We'll have enough of this. And the people...
Yeah.
And the people going to rise up and shit going to hit the fan, because people are at their wits' end saying, hey,
yeah.
we're working hard, we're not seeing the fruits of our labor, we're just paying bills, while the rich don't pay any goddamn thing. You know, so something
mm-hmm.
has to give. You know, and that
yeah.
is why Joe Biden is there now, trying to cut student debt loans to zero
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a significant amount, because Republicans refuse to do that. Republicans giving more power to these lenders, you know, without, you know, any, what's the word for it? You know, they can just basically hike the rates whenever they want, you know,
mm-hmm.
without any.
It's like being a loan shark, David.
Yeah,
I
basically.
It's like
you
a
know?
Loan shark, you know, and
yeah.
the other thing
mm-hmm.
is that when they can't pay their loans, you know, they're threatened
mm-hmm.
by the fact that, you know, their credit score, you know, goes in the tank, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and so then for the next year, they might be able not to get a loan for the next year. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So it's a vicious circle. And
yes.
when they come out of school, they don't have a lot of credit to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might
mm-hmm.
have their credit card that their parents helped them get. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're
they're going to school, maybe they work a little bit, they're trying to, you know, make their way through college, and then they come out and they're flooded with debt. I mean, it's just wrong. It's wrong.
Let's move on to other topics. Cause I have 30 minutes left and everything. Mike Johnson took a trip down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Trump's ass, not ring.
Right.
He wants money for Israel and Ukraine to fund them, but Marjorie Taylor Greene is a lone woman by herself trying to get rid of, you know, Speaker Johnson, just like how she did, or helped, did in and Kevin McCarthy. You know, so the Republicans warring against each other and everything. He went down Mar-a-Lago to kiss Trump's ass. Do you think that Trump will eventually bend to say, hey, give aid to Israel and Ukraine, or he's too beholden to Putin to even bend for that? Because he was making a statement, Trump said, like, oh, if I were president, you know, what's happening in the Middle East wouldn't happen. But, you know, Michael, not Michael Bolton, Josh Bolton said, that's just, you know, hogwash what you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
do you think the Republicans would bend?
What was his reason that it would not have happened if he were president? Would he be friends with Iran and tell Iran, oh, no, you can't do that to Israel, and they're just going to listen to him? Is that what he thinks? I mean,
yeah, because Russia and Iran, Russia has a lot of influence in over Iran because, remember, they're in this BRICS nation thing. BRICS, for those of you who don't know, is an economic superpower where they're trying to challenge the United States and European Union economically. BRICS are made up of Brazil, Russia, Iran, China, and the latest one, South Africa. So BRICS SA, you know, and 40 other countries lining up to join BRICS because they noticed that, you know, the United States, all of this consume, all of the most is consume, import. You know, so this thing where Trump's saying, oh, let's put tariffs on everything coming in, you know, and let's buy American. You know, he's just talking and not making any sense because buy American, all his merchandise is made in China. So that's a big hypocrisy right there. You get what I'm saying? And with Iran being part of the BRICS nations and close with Russia and close with Brazil and everything. Remember, they're trying to topple us, the United States and the Western world, as the economic superpowers, the G7 nations, what have you. You know, they want to make a statement. And certain countries in Africa, on the African continent, starting to use the BRICS nations' money in terms of exchange and not using American money. You know, so that may pose a problem economically for America, where the standard has always been the U.S. dollar, but no other nations will use other nations in solidarity and try to topple America economically. That's what's happening now. You know, so when Trump says, oh, let's pack this. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say what's sad is Iran used to be a democracy. And even though they're Muslim, their religion, but they had a secular government, which is what we should have. And it was us, the CIA particularly, and MI6 that overthrew that democratic prime minister who people loved. I mean, I think we always ought to know the truth. How do you ever learn if we don't know what happened? And they overthrew
him.
Oh, you
mean the Shah of Iran? When they overthrew the Shah of Iran, correct?
Who was a dictator, not a religious one, though. And he was there for like 26 years right before Reagan's election. And then then there was the Iranian Revolution, and we got these ultra and militant religious types. But we really started that, and I never knew that from school. But we ought to learn what we did if we're ever going to learn, you know, in the future to not do things. But we did that. That's why they're our enemy now. Where would we be if we hadn't overthrown them? Well, anyway, that's just the point.
But to you know, to your point, the Shah was very corrupt, you know?
Yes, he was.
The Shah was a real son of a bitch. But America, through the CIA and the MI6, Britain and the Mossad, saying, hey, you may be corrupt and vindictive and what have you. But, you know, you are our son of a bitch, and you'll jump to whatever we say you should do, you know? And so the Islamic revolutionaries of Iran, and the Shia Muslims and the Sunnis and whoever came together and said, here what, you know, let's just change things. Get this, you know, Western puppet out and put in our people. You know, it happened in Chile. It happened in many Central American countries because it was the height of the Cold War and everything. And, you know, nations, you know, were forced to choose sides. Do you want a socialist who depend on the Soviet Union, or do you want to help us, America, where we're the bastions of freedom? You know, so, you know, we went in there, ruined these countries, and now because the economic times are so hard in these countries, you know, and there's gang warfare, there's drug trade and everything, they say, here what, I want a better life. I want to come to America, the bastion of hope. Freedom, democracy, whatever that good stuff is. The quote-unquote American dream. You have to be sleeping to believe in the American dream. That was never a thing, trust me. Unless you're a white Anglo-Saxon man, then, yeah, you know, that suits you well. But if you're anything else, especially a woman, then you have to know your place. The American dream's a fallacy. You know?
You know, so, going back, are you done, David? Are you finished?
Yes, I'm done.
Going back to Mike Johnson, what gets me about him is that he is such a weak, inept man that he has to go down to Mar-a-Lago to get permission to do the right thing. Because I think he knows in his heart, I'm guessing, that funding Israel, you know, helping Israel, helping Ukraine, our allies in Asia, is doing the right thing for our democracy. So why is it that he has to go get stroked by Trump and get an okay to do what's right? I don't understand that. He is Speaker of the House. What kind of a hold does Trump have on him as well? It makes me sick to my...
Marjorie Taylor Greene, maybe he hopes that Trump will back him up with Marjorie Taylor Greene on his tail. I mean, I don't know, because she's threatening to do that.
I mean,
and if Trump backs
Look, he's the Speaker of the House. Only thing Marjorie Taylor Greene has is a big mouth. That is it. She's not smart. She's dumb as dirt.
Mm-hmm.
God is a big mouth. She starts on her tandems, probably gets up in the morning and reads something and gets all pissed off. And now she's after Mike Johnson. Why? Why is she after Mike Johnson all of a sudden? I mean, it makes no sense. He's not really, he's been like a very timid Speaker of the House. He's like a little scared boy, in my opinion. That's what I think he is.
Okay,
and
but the thing is, Marjorie Taylor Greene may be stupid and dangerous, but the voters who vote these people in have the final say. And if Mike Johnson, though, you know, like, worship Trump and be a good-looking boy and follow what Marjorie Taylor Greene say, then he's out, just like Kevin McCarthy was.
See,
because
I think you guys give too much credit. I think she could be put in her place, but no one has taken the time to do it. I think she could.
No.
You know, I find it just so, just her statements, you can just tell from what she said, she's so uneducated. She doesn't understand how anything works in government. She really doesn't. Like Boebert, same thing. They don't understand anything.
They don't
how everything works.
They don't have to. Trump is the mob boss.
Want to be mob boss. He's too stupid to be a mob boss, okay? And the real person who pulls
strings, Putin.
Vladimir Putin. Putin, exactly. So Trump is not a mob boss. He's a useful idiot. He's too stupid to be a mob boss. Let's put it that way.
But he still is the mob boss to those people in Washington, to Johnson, to Marjorie Taylor Greene. He is their boss. They answer to him. They've shown us.
Yeah.
As Rachel says, watch what they do.
Yeah.
515-605-9803
is the number you call. We'll have just under 30 minutes left in our thing. You know, the topic, sent to us until hell breaks loose. You know, I don't think hell will break loose because, you know, we may have a couple struggles down there in the courtroom or the courthouse. I think people, you know, wise up to the fact that what happened January 6th, so many of them were turned in, especially ex-wives turned in a lot of their ex-husbands for the insurrection. And if they do show up and everything, I mean, the security will be through the roof, you know. And if they dare try anything, they'll be shocked. Maybe rubber bullets, maybe the real ones, hopefully the real ones, because these people don't deserve to breathe the same air as we do. These people call themselves patriots, but then really not. You know, they're pathetic losers who follow Donald Trump. And, you know, some of them live in trailer parks and on food stamps and have 10 million children, but yet still want to blame minorities, especially black women, saying, oh, welfare queen. The biggest welfare queens are in the South who depend on the system that Republicans trying to break, trying to take away from. You know, there needs serious reforms in these systems, but at least it's helping people, social security, the social netting that help, whether you're black, white, Jewish, Puerto Rican, whatever, you know? And these people still, even though you break it down in the simplest terms, they still vote Republican. So when you vote Republican in 2024, I hope you enjoy, you know, what you deserve by voting Republican. Because they're anti-woman, they're anti-vax, they're anti-immigrant, they're anti-Mexican, they're anti-LGBTQ, they're anti-everything, but not corporations or rich people, or if you're Anglo-Saxon, then you're right. Trump made a statement last week saying, oh, you know, we'd welcome people from Denmark to come in. You know, and Danish people have it well in Denmark and Scandinavia. Why? Because they have a shit together. You know, they don't want to come here to this bullshit. Please.
They don't want
Donald Trump. No, exactly. Exactly. You know? But anyway, tomorrow night, at the same time, 9:30 will start, Eastern, we'll have Carl Marlinga. He is the Democratic candidate for District 10 in Michigan, Congressional District 10. We'll have him on at about 9:45, 9:50 or so. And, you know, ask him a couple of questions, take calls and everything. So I hope everybody can join us tomorrow. And then on Thursday.
You know, I'm happy to hear that because I talked to Carl Marlinga probably 30 years ago in his early dealing with domestic violence in our, you know, our county. And somehow he'd written an article in the paper, and I contacted him. He was such a big help, and it was about what the police would say is we didn't witness. I mean, I have a good feeling about Carl Marlinga, and I hope he gets the office he's running for. But anyway, he'd written an article, and the police used to always say in domestic violence, from what I read, well, we didn't witness it. We didn't witness it. And what he wrote was an article. You didn't have to witness it. You could use probable cause. And I learned that from him. So I'd be glad to be here.
Yeah, he'll
hear
be
what
on,
he's doing.
On tomorrow evening. He's running he's running in M10, District 10, I should say, and against John James.
So,
got competition in the Democratic Party.
There's a lot of competition, yes. We had Diane Young on here. She's running as well. And then there's a couple more. I think her name is Ellen Bush. And I think there's one more man that's going to be running. And I don't know if that's it or not. That's all the ones I know about. That's, you know, for District 9 and 10. They're actually going after 10 more than 9. And really, I need somebody to come to my district, which is 9, and come and save us from Lisa McClain, because she's in our district. So
yeah,
another,
good luck with that, because District 9 is even redder than District 10. You know, and Lisa McClain has her own money. She was a banker before that. And she has money out the wazoo, you know. So anybody who's challenging her, their money, their bank have been strong. I don't think Republicans will lose that seat for now, because she just buy the election, basically. You know, and she's stupid. You know, remember when she was first running and she claimed that Trump was the one who killed Bin Laden? which was a blatant lie. You know, the school children in China know that was a blatant lie, but, you know, people got excited about that and voted for her. And that one lie, you know, and we were Democrats in the DNC counteracting her, saying that, no, this is what happened, and this is why we need to put money in, like, not only safe seats or, you know, too close to car seats, but seats like McLean, to call her out on her different lies and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was a blatant lie. She had no business being in Congress because she's a liar, just like Trump. And we don't need liars. We need rubber stampers in Congress. We need independent thinkers, you know, who can stand up for the people who they represent and not, you know, kiss the ring at Donald Trump or even Joe Biden. You know, this is what democracy is, you know?
Absolutely.
And McLean herself was one of the people who was for the insurrection. How can you vote for an insurrectionist, you know, person who condoned that shit? Why? You know? Are you stupid? Are you stupid voting for McLean?
I don't get it. Don't ask me. It's just, it blows my mind. It really does.
One thing I learned, the Israeli lobby, I'm looking at the lobbyists. That's a real strong lobby, and they're associated with other things that you don't know about. But the Israeli lobby is going after the progressives and $100 million. That's going to be the squad and associated people. Mainly, they're mainly people of color, the progressives. They want to primary them. They want them to primary them with a more moderate candidate who will go with the whole Israel thing. That's just a fact. They're also funding the Republicans and Democrats. Some Democrats I've liked, but they're funding a lot of election deniers, which I thought was interesting too.
I know that's terrible. I know absolutely. So one last thing I'd like to talk about before the end of the show is that Old Satan has banned local governments from protecting workers from heat limits. Police oversight boards. So in other words, Florida is seeing two more recent instances of state government under Republican DeSantis limiting the powers of local government with newly signed bills that deal with worker safety and police oversight. A bill signed Thursday bans local governments from requiring heat and water breaks for outside workers. And Bill DeSantis signed on Friday strips local citizens' police oversight boards from investigating officers.
Oh, whoa. Where's that?
That's scary. In the bill,
Florida,
one of the hottest states in the country, local governments will be banned from requiring heat and water breaks. It was a direct response to Miami-Dade County's effort to require shade and water for construction, farm, and other outdoor workers. But in a state where construction and farming are huge industries, Miami-Dade estimates that more than 325,000 workers in that county alone critics lambasted the bill that keeps local government from protecting workers from heat and sun. The Democratic State Senator Victor Torres called the new law an attack on workers. Do you think so? I mean, that what is wrong with that man?
What is wrong with the people there if they vote that?
Maybe that's what it's going to take to get the people to come to their senses.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what he said. So this is what DeSantis said. It really wasn't anything that was coming from me. There was a lot of concern out of one county, Miami-Dade, DeSantis said. They were pursuing that what was going to cause a lot of problems down there. But the law will now keep Florida's 66 other counties from requiring simple worker protections.
I mean, what is wrong with getting water and sitting in shade for 15 minutes when it's 100 degrees outside and you're picking apples and oranges and working the crops, honestly, or doing whatever job there is to do outside. What is wrong with that?
The same mind that you don't want to give water to people in line to vote. That was an, another thing that was tempted. And I wonder if they're the ones that are trying to get the child labor to come back. I don't know if that's Texas or, you know, there is some attempt to.
Oh, yeah, a whole host of them, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, the whole lot of them who are registered and stuff. That's what they're doing. Child labor laws being softened or eradicated so 12 and 13-year-olds can work in factories and what have you, you know, instead of going to school and, you know, having a meal, you know. And these Republicans are fascists. They're condoning the Gilded Age, the second Gilded Age, you know. We can't have it. We must not have it in Ireland. So it's a good thing that President of the United States, Joe Biden, said today that, you know, that the United States won't help Israel in attacking Iran. That's a good move by President
Biden. Of course.
Try to stay neutral as possible. Because nobody wants war, especially a 20-year, $1 trillion war we had in Afghanistan and in Iraq. You know? Let's go through diplomatic channels first and try to see that work and everything. You know? And just get rid of Donald Trump. You know, if we're making him a martyr, so be it. So be it, because that man needs to come out of our lives. He's been in there since 2015, and he is, you know, under Putin and the Kremlin. The Kremlin even said on national TV that, you know, our man, Trump, will want him back in there again so that he could do our bidding. Eisenhower warned against this, you know, before he demitted office. Imagine Adlai Stevens, his Democratic opponent, both in 1952 and 1956. Stevenson and him hated each other. But in 1952 and 1956, Adlai Stevens came to him and said, listen, Mr. President, this is what's happening. The KGB approached me. The Russians approached me, saying they'd give me X amount of dollars if I tell them, you know, what secrets we have. Because as the presidential candidate of both parties, you're privy to certain national security privileges, just in case one of you win. And so Stevenson went to Ike and said, here, well, this is what's happening. You know, and now Trump, you know, going to be a Republican nominee, going to get state secrets. You don't think he's going to go back to Russia and say, here, what, this is what the United States have in mind, that. You know, we need to get rid of Trump by any means necessary. The man is dangerous. Yep. He's not, you know, he's not a patriot. You know, basically he's a pussy. That's the P word he can describe Trump as, a pussy. A vindictive, lying son of a bitch who should be in prison for the rest of his life. And I hope this trial starting tomorrow will, you know, set the tone for his other trials. He needs to be in prison and put away for life. And hopefully, God forbid, but hopefully somebody will, you know, pew-pew. But I digress, you know, pew-pew, you know what I mean, pew-pew. I'm sick of this man. Everybody's sick of this man. But anyway, well, thank you, ladies, for calling in. We'll get a wrap-up now and everything.
So
Elaine in Michigan and Doris in Michigan, thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
We really appreciate your input today.
And Bob from South Carolina. Thank you,
Bob.
Yes,
man. All right, now, so the final 10 minutes. Thursday's show coming up. We'll have a Thursday show coming up. We're going to compare conspiracy theories versus critical thinking. Do you think many people in the country has lost the ability for critical thinking?
That's a good question.
Is it because of the influence of social media? Why you think so many idiots are over there?
Yes, I do. Yes, that's exactly what I think. The internet has too much misinformation. Artificial intelligence is going to destroy much of the logic we have left eventually. I really feel that's going to happen. It scares me about artificial intelligence. It's something that needs to be regulated before it starts.
And I don't see that happening either. So not quick enough. Let's put it that way. I think I think what they'll do is, as they run into problems, they'll try to regulate something. But they should be ahead of the game instead of behind. And, you know, they should be ahead instead of behind. So, yeah, I think social media has a lot to do with many things in our society right now. I really do. Yes.
Yeah, the grossest and misinformation that's going on out there is just that ridiculous. We need to do better.
We need to do better is right. You know, we need, you know, the media to be a little freer, not freer, I guess that's a bad word. The media needs to, they coddled Trump for too long, and now you see what we have. And it made them
while
a lot of money.
While shitting on Hillary and Democrats. While shitting on Hillary and Democrats.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So now you see what we have. You know, we have, they created a monster, so to speak, or like Elaine says, the biggest mob boss we've ever seen in our country. And, you know, I'll have to agree with that. So
want to be mob boss. He's too stupid to be a mob boss. He's taking his instructions from Chris. He's stupid. He can't do anything on his own. He's stupid. He's not no boss. He's stupid.
No, he's not. No, that's not what I'm saying. He's not a boss. He's not really smart, but he knows how to manipulate people. He knows how to be a good con man. That's his lot in life. That is what he's done all his life. He knows nothing else. He knows how to pick the weak up and tell them what they want to hear. And he would have been probably better as a preacher somewhere. He probably would have been a lot richer than he is now because he's good at that, you know. But is he a smart man? No. Is he a good man? No. Does he have a heart? No. Does he have a soul? No. He cares about no one but himself. No one.
Exactly.
That's what I see. That's what I see.
Okay, let's listen to some MAGA Christian nationalists. Young Turk spoke to them recently. And this is always a treat because these people are even dumber than Trump, and I'm scared. These people vote. So if you're on the fence and neutral, after all this we explained, you know, for the years we have the show and reboot, if you still vote Republican or if you vote Green Party or you vote independent or stay home, then you may as well vote for Trump. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what light to show you. But these are Trump people, you know, white Christian nationalists, and it was from the Young Turks. Here it is.
What does that mean to you, and do you think that we should be a Christian nationalist country?
I believe that we should be protecting our freedom of religion, and it seems that Christianity is under attack in this country. It's pretty evident when college campuses allow things to be talked about, everything under the sun, but when anyone tries to speak about Christianity, they're pretty much shut down. You see it in protests around the country. People are shut down, and it's really unfortunate. So it is important to me that that's protected.
And do you think the Bible should be taught in public schools?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
We have a separation of church and state.
You know, it might be to some people, but not to me. I just know that God is in charge, and whatever he does is it's the only thing to be doing or that can be done. So he's going to take a lot. He's going to go a long ways before he destroys the evil.
And what's the evil as you define it now?
I can't go that far. I know the evil, and you know the evil, but we don't speak it that way. Christians don't, anyway. I don't.
No, I mean, when you refer to evil, because I don't know what, you know, evil to me is people who kill people.
Well, Biden's evil, and that's about all I can say to that.
In what ways is he evil?
You know, I got it all out. Thank you.
All right. So the Constitution was not written for
immoral, unjust people. The Constitution was written for moral, spiritual people who could discern the times and the seasons through the Word of God.
We have, you know, God. God is trying to help America. And the man for the mission is Trump. So we need to follow Trump.
But what if Trump were to lose? What would that mean that didn't work out? Or what would it mean for the country?
Well, God has his plan. And God knows everything. If that happens, it means suffering for the people. And I don't think God wants that at this point in time. I think that most of America is a faithful people. America is actually following Christ more than we think. And I think that God knows this.
Do you think America should be an exclusively Christian country?
Yes, but I think that it should be a Christian country.
Let's say we became a Christian country. What would you say to your Jewish friends and neighbors?
Well, I think that the base of this nation was Christianity, and they know that, you know. Just like Israel was the Jewish religion, and we know that, and we love them, you know, and we respect them for how their nation is, and they respect us for how our nation is run. And I think that, you know, both nations are very, very close, commandments-wise and everything. I think that the right path is to keep America, Christ-like America.
But we have a separation of church and state in this country.
There is separation, but not in the Constitution. The Constitution was based on our Heavenly Father.
I don't think they used those words, though, right?
Not those words, but the men that did the job of writing the Constitution, they were very faithful men.
And we're standing in Virginia. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Articles of Religion.
Obamacare is a disaster.
What we'd like to do is totally kill it.
I vote that they end.
Obamacare is a catastrophe.
It would be so good at the end.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted. Now, something dangerous happened in America. There's an extremist movement who does not share the basic beliefs of our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. Most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration, and I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity if we act together. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been Kitchen Politics 1-3 for April 14th, 2024. The Trump trial starts tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Carl Marlinga, Democratic candidate for 2024, Congressional District 10 in Michigan. We hope he can join us. Same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays for a show, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Check out our website, kickingpolitics123.com. We'd love to hear from everybody. Okay, so see you tomorrow night. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, everyone. See you tomorrow night, and have a good evening. Bless everyone. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.